All right, let's turn in your Bibles back to Philippians chapter 1. As we continue our look at our vision this year, having a vision to grow, and we're using the book of Philippians to really see what the Lord has for us and all that. Now, I've been challenging you to have your own personal vision. What would the Lord have you to do in this year to be able to grow in your walk and your faith with the Lord? And so this is our third message in chapter 1 of the book of Philippians. And so we're going to be covering today verses 6 and 7, only a couple of verses, and focused on finishing the work. Last week, we kind of really looked at the purpose and really biblical fellowship. And that's something that, if you look right now in verse 5, that this is one of the things that Paul was thankful for the Philippians when he says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." I mean, that's continuous fellowship from the moment that Paul started that church and you know, people there that came to know the Lord. And all the way to the time that he's writing this, there was that continual fellowship that he had. And that's important as we talked about fellowship being that relationship that you have with Christ through the Word of God and through prayer. So we talked a lot about that last week. And he moves on because you notice that that's not the end of the sentence. And he covers these next two verses. It says this in verse 6, "Being confident of this very thing." Because of that fellowship that he had with them, because of their faith that they had, it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." That's the day that the Lord comes back for the church and we're standing before him at the judgment seat of Christ. In verse 7, he goes on and says, "Even as it is meet or fit for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, as says, and as much as both in my bonds," he was in prison, "and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace." So the thing that we're going to look at today, we're going to look at two points: confidence in God's work, verse 6, and then looking at confirmation of the gospel and talking about truly what the gospel grace is all about, the gospel that Paul preached, because it's more than just salvation. And we'll lay that thing out as we get to that. So I want to have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started on what we need to see today in talking about finishing the work. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for all that you do. I thank you for just your grace and everything that you have given us. Lord, we can just spend the whole day and more just thanking you for all the many blessings that you give us in our lives. But Father, I pray that you help us to draw our attention to your word, that our hearts and our minds will be open to the truth. Lord, that you would speak to us. Your Spirit will direct and guide us in your word and give us the things that we need today. Lord, each and every day, each and every week, we need to hear from you. We need your word to be able to navigate the times in this life that we have in this world that we experience some tough things. Lord, we need your word. And so, Father, I pray that you help us to be open to it. Help us to leave here changed today. That it's not just another message. That's another Sunday. But, Lord, that it's a time that we meet with you and to be able to take your word to heart and apply it to our lives. So ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's dig into it. Philippians chapter 1, again, starting in verse 6, it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Well, I'm talking about this good work that God has done, that he has started. It kind of reminds me of in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. I'm not going to have you turn there because we looked at it 2 weeks ago and talking about God's grace for salvation and God's grace for service, where Paul talks about how he did not waste the grace of God. It wasn't in vain, but how he worked and how he labored, but really allowed the word of God or the grace of God to work and labor in him. And that's really the same thing that we're talking about here. Paul is confident because of the Philippians, because of the relationship with the Lord, that the work that God had started in them from the day that they got saved, that he would finish that work. And that's something that we should always really have in our mindset to be able to do, is to finish the work that God has for us. This is something that, to be honest, if you've spent some time with me and you've been in the church for a while, you know that this is kind of like my soapbox in a sense. An understanding that God has created you for a reason. He's created you for a purpose. He has a work for you to do. It's not just a matter of getting saved and sitting in a church and that's it. You know, it's a matter of that he has a job for you to do, that he wants you to finish and to complete. Now, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. I want you to actually turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is a very familiar verse to believers in Christ, but I still wanted you to look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, down in verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 17. And this is an incredible verse, because it doesn't matter your background, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. When you're in Christ, you have a new lease on life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says this, "Therefore, if any man," doesn't matter who it is, who you are, doesn't matter your background, again, "therefore, if any man be in Christ, He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Right? It doesn't mean that the moment that you get saved, that whatever problems you had is all that you just wiped out. What it means, though, is that you have the ability now to correct and change those things because of the Spirit of God in your life, the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, God's grace in your life to be able to change that situation. God wants you to, as we're talking about this year, grow into what He has for you to do. He has a work for you to finish, a work for you to complete, but talk a growth process in that and allowing God to work through your life and everything that is going on. But that's not the only place we need to look at. I want you to also go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. These are like the top verses of Charles Boyce in dealing with God has a plan in your life. Most of you probably already have these verses kind of memorized, but Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Now when we look at this, we are not saved by works. There's not a work that you can do in our dispensation of time that you can earn your way to heaven. Verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians 2 talks about that. It's not by works. It's by faith. It's by understanding what God has done in your life. But we are saved to do a good work. And that's where verse 10 comes in. You look at Ephesians 2 and verse 10. It says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained or appointed that we should walk in them." Just like you have a choice whether to accept Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you also have a choice whether to walk in the good works that God has already laid out for you. This verse is absolutely incredible verse. Because I know people struggle like, why am I here? What's my purpose? What is God doing in my life? Especially if things seemingly are not going well in your life. It's like, why am I here? What am I doing? God, what's your plan? Understand from the Word of God that God has a plan for you that He's laid out even before the world began. You're still in Ephesians 2:10? Look at it. See what it says. "For we are His workmanship." In other words, allowing God to continue to work in your life. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." He started to work the moment that you accepted Christ as your Savior. He wants to continue to work in your life. Again, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." That word "should" means you have a choice. Just like you had a choice to get saved or not, you have a choice whether to walk in the good works that God has for you. Well, how are you going to know the good works that God has for you? Well, that's what the Word of God is all about. As you continue to spend time in the Word of God, God's going to show you the direction that He has for you. Alright? He's going to show you what to do. You know what? It simply starts, how can you do a good work and do what the Lord would have you to do? What about the home? Husband, wife, child, whatever the case is. Are you doing what you need to do biblically in your home? That's a great place to start as far as doing the good work that God would have you to do. What about you're employed, you're at a job. Your work that you have is a ministry field. It's an opportunity to be able to hopefully share truth, to build relationships with people, and to be able to share the truth of the Word of God. That's something that God has you there for a reason, more than just a paycheck. You're around people. What can I do to help influence people for the truth of the Word of God? That's part of the good works that God may have laid out for you. Who knows God's plan? As it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither enter into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him." Alright? God has a job and a purpose for you. I'll give you another of Charles Boyce's highlights of God has a purpose in your life verse. I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, we studied this just a couple of years ago. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, I want you to look down in verse 9. Now, I'm going to read from verse 7 because I know what some people are thinking. What? God used me? There's no way God can use me. I don't know enough. Well, I didn't start off knowing what I know about the Word of God, and I still have a long way to go. It's a matter of willing hearts, willing mind. All right? Be willing to open up the Word of God and start having God teach you. Be in a church where hopefully you can have a place where they have discipleship. They can teach you how to learn, grow in the Word of God, and so forth. But my point is this. Don't allow Satan and don't allow the things of this world to have fear in your life from doing what God has called you to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we pick it up in verse 7. We're going to get to verse 9, but I want to start in verse 7. It says this, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." You see, God, when He created you in Christ Jesus, He didn't give you a spirit of fear. Alright? There's nothing to be afraid of. Alright? But He's given you a spirit, as it says there, of power and of love and a sound mind. Well, why? Continue on. Verse 8, it says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Yes, there's going to be some afflictions. I think anybody that we live a long time here, live a while, we understand that this world's going to throw some things at us. All right? It's not going to always be easy. Especially if you're standing on your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to go through some persecutions. But what does that verse say at the end? Dealing with it according to the power of God. God will give you the power and the strength to deal with whatever gets thrown your way. Why? Verse 9. Who has saved us and called us. Get that. God didn't save you, as I talked about last week, to sit. God saved you to serve. Alright? I guess that was 2 weeks ago we talked about that as we started Philippians. It says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, notice this, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Think about that. The magnitude of that verse. Before God even began this world, created this world, He knew that you're going to be born. He knew when you're going to be born. He knew the people that are going to be involved in your life. And He has laid out for you a work, a plan, a purpose, even before the world began. Why? Because God's all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He knows what's going to happen. Right now, we're probably thinking, it's like, you know, God knows right now whether the Chiefs are going to make it to the Super Bowl or not. And you're kind of like, I wish I knew that, because then I could actually watch the game and relax and not have a heart attack to see what's going to happen or be disappointed if they don't make it. I mean, God knows. But beyond something like that, the Chiefs game, obviously, notice I got my jersey on, you know, Jamal Charles. All right. I know he's no longer with the Chiefs, but he has a great name. His last name is a great name. Anyhow, I move on. God knew when you're going to be born. He knows the people that you're going to be interacting with. He knows who you're going to be dealing with this week. And you know what? He may have a work for you to do in somebody's life. Somebody may be going through something, and you're going to be there to be able to hopefully be ready and willing to share truth with them when they ask you, when they have an open door, hey, I'm having this problem. Can you pray for me? Can you help me? What does the Word of God say about this? And you're ready to go. Sometimes they call it like a divine appointment. You never know what God has in store for you. What we need to do is be ready, because He has a purpose. He has works for us to do that we should walk in them. It's a matter of whether we're going to choose to do so or not. I want to give you two more references before we move on to our second point. I want you to go back to Acts chapter 20. As you make your way there, I'll give you a little bit of the context. This is when Paul is in Ephesus. He is dealing with the leaders there, and he's getting ready to go to Jerusalem, and he's been warned of God that if he goes to Jerusalem, that bonds and afflictions are going to abide him, and that's exactly what happens. He gets imprisoned in Jerusalem. But he continues on, and he makes this statement down in verse 24. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24 says this. In the context of afflictions getting ready to happen to him, serving the Lord, this is what Paul says. But none of these things move me. Verse 24. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's the gospel that the Lord communicated to Paul to communicate to us. That's the same gospel that we need to be preaching now, this gospel of grace. But he understands he wants to, what? Finish the work that God has given to do. And he's not going to let anything move him from doing that. There's not going to be anything that's going to stop him from completing the work that God has given him to do. Well, what about us? How often do we have, well, it's a little bit of excuse sometimes to stop and hinder what God wants to do in our life and a work that He has for us to do. And we shouldn't do that. And I can harp and I can talk a lot of things about, you know, again, and I've done this in the past in a sense, it's like, we will do everything we can to make it to work. Because why? It's a paycheck. Right? We got bills to pay, whatever the case is. It's like, you know, I mean, those, especially for us, we have a work ethic. It's not, we're not going to let a little cold or whatever stop us from being at work and, you know, whatever the case is. Or maybe, again, be whatever kind of situations that may come up. And it's like, well, I'm just going to use that as an excuse to not go. all right, or to not do what God wants them to do. We can do that. You think about it. The ultimate reward we're going to have, as we'll see a little bit, is being able to rule and reign with Christ, to be able to be glorified with His glory. That's the ultimate reward. And that should motivate us to not let anything hinder our service for God. Give you one more reference before we move on. And that's going back to 2 Timothy, but this time chapter 4, and you're very familiar with it, verses 7 and 8. From Acts 2:20 to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. In Acts 20:24, that you see where Paul, he's not going to let anything hinder or stop him from finishing the work that God has given him to do. All right? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, as you know, this is the end of Paul's life. He's getting ready to be beheaded by Nero. And this is what he says. At the end of his life, he accomplishes his goal. He accomplishes the work that God has given him to do. It says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Stop there for a second. It's not by accident that verse 7 starts off talking about fighting a good fight. In other words, it's not going to be necessarily easy to accomplish the work that God has given us to do. Now again, remember, He's given us the power, He's given us strength, He's given us a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. He's given us everything that we need to be able to accomplish the work that God has given us to do. Alright? It's all there. We talked about in our first message in Philippians. He gives us the grace and the peace to be able to, again, serve Him. He's given us all things. If we were to go back to Ephesians, we understand that He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. God has given us everything that we need to serve Him and to complete the work that He's given us to do. But it will be a fight. It will be. We'll fight our own flesh. I'm going to confess to you something. I don't wake up every day like, woohoo, ready to go. Let me get in the Word of God. I'm ready to go to work. I'm ready to do what I can to serve the Lord Jesus. Sometimes I don't feel that way. It's like, but you're a pastor. Well, you know what? If we all accept that Jesus Christ is our personal Lord and Savior, guess what? We all are Christians. And all of us need to serve God, right? And I am not saying something that I know that you have not thought yourself. Why? Because we're all human. Have there been times where you haven't felt like going to work? Probably almost every day. There are times, you know what? I am ready to go. I am ready to go to work. I'm ready to do this thing. I'm ready to do whatever work that I have left to do. But then there are days that I was like, I just want to stay in bed. That was like last week. A couple of days last week, I did not get much sleep. Last Sunday, I didn't get a lot of sleep. You know why? I'm blaming it on two things. That new puppy and the cheese. Last week, it's like, you know, my schedule, I'm working, with my 5 days working, and I got off at 7 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. We had a church service, and then I got home, got to bed. Trish had to go to work, and so new puppy goes into the bathroom, and you know, so nothing doesn't happen while nobody's got an eye on him. You know what the dog starts doing? Starts whimpering. I can't sleep. The dog's whimpering. So I get up, and I notice on my phone the score of the Chiefs game. I'm like, interesting. Because it was 24 whatever it was, where they were losing, and then all of a sudden it was like 24-28. And so I go and get the puppy, I put him in bed with me, and that solved the whining problem, but then I'm kind of awake, and let me just turn on the game a little bit, let me just see a couple of plays. That ended up me watching the rest of the second half. I didn't get a lot of sleep last Sunday, so when it came time to go to work, did I feel like going to work? No, I did not feel like going to work. But what did I do? I went to work. My point is this. How many times in our Christian life we don't feel like being in the Word? We don't even feel like praying. How hard is it to pray? You don't have to get on your knees and close your eyes. You don't have to get in a closet somewhere. How easy is it to pray? I mean, I could pray right now and still preach to you guys. It's not a hard thing, but there's times where you don't even feel like praying. But what is going to be good for you? What's going to help and benefit you? Spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer, even if you don't feel like it. We can't base our Christianity and our life on feelings. Right? We've got to base it on what has God told us to do in the Word of God and to do it and accomplish it. You look at this. You're still in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 8. There's a reward to this. It says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Every one of us has a personal course of work that God wants to complete in your life. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. If you love the appearing, if you're looking for the Lord to come back, then guess what that means? You're going to do the work that he's giving you to do. Get this in your mind. We've already seen where God has laid out our walk. He has laid out our works that we should walk in. He wants us to complete that work. He wants to work through us to complete that work. As we see, as we'll go back to Philippians chapter 1 about. What a tragedy it's going to be when we get to that day, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're standing and being judged for our works. Alright? Not for our sin, that's already dealt with on Calvary's cross, but judged for our work, judged for our service. And we have a clear 100% understanding of all the good works that the Lord wanted us to do in our Christian life. And the realization that we did hardly any of it. This is what he wanted us to do, and maybe we did a little bit of it, if any. And there's nothing at that point that we can do to correct the situation. And the result is going to be, yeah, you're in heaven. But you're missing out on the great reward that he has for you. And being glorified for the same glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be able to rule and reign. As a believer in Christ, you legitimately accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can't lose your salvation. The time that we live in, we've seen it, we've talked about it, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God to the day of redemption. We can't lose our salvation. Even if we decide we're not going to serve the Lord anymore, we're still saved. Alright? But what we're going to lose out on is being able to rule and reign with Christ. That's what we lose out on. And you might think, well, that's no big deal. I'm going to be in heaven. Well, yeah. You say that. There's no fixing what we fail to do on earth when we're there in heaven. And it's too late. We have the opportunity. That's why Paul talks about it over and over and over again. Now, if we go back to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 to finish this point up, it's an amazing statement that Paul is making about the Philippians. That is a credit to their testimony of how they were following and walking according to how the Lord wanted them to do, to fulfill the works in their life, because he says it again, being confident of this very thing in verse 6, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is going to be so much easier for if we are willing to have God to work in our lives to complete the work. But if we're doing it kicking and screaming, it's not going to happen. It's like that new puppy that we have, Max, Maximus. All right? It's awesome when, you know, we're teaching him, trying to, you know, obey and everything, ask him to come, he comes to you, ask him to sit, he sits, and so forth and so on. You know, but there's some time it's like, dog, you can't chew on that. We got all these chew toys, and you want to chew on a thing you're not supposed to chew on. I know, and it's like, good night, you know, and he's running around, you got to try to catch him. It's easier to catch him because he's got these little legs, you know, so we can catch him fairly good, you know. But, I mean, it's sometimes it's hard trying to chase him and get him down and do the right thing and teach him it over and over and over again. And it's like, man, when's the day going to come when we don't have to worry about cleaning up after him? Because he thinks inside is where he's supposed to go to the bathroom. I can't wait for that day when I don't have to worry about it, but it takes training to do all these things. Now, it's going to be tough if Maximus never learns these things. If he's always going to be chewing on something. You want to cuddle with this fluffy little dog and all of a sudden he's trying to nibble on your nose. I mean, you know, it's going to be hard if that's the way he's always going to continue to be. That's a great story about Maximus and everything and your dog troubles. But what about God in heaven right now looking down at us? He wants us to do a work that he has laid out, which is only going to make us fulfilled and happy in our life. Doesn't mean you're not going to have any struggles. We've already talked about that. But what I'm saying is, you will only be fulfilled and truly blessed and happy in your life if you're doing what God has created you to do in Christ. if you're actually walking and doing those good works that he's laid out for us. But if he's trying to drag you kicking and screaming when you're nibbling on something you're not supposed to be nibbling on or doing something that you're not supposed to be doing, you know, like Maximus sometimes, then it's going to be hard for that to ever take place in your life. You're never going to be like the Apostle Paul that comes to the end of your life, you know what? I have finished the work. I've done everything that God has given me to do. Paul was confident in the Philippians that the work that God had began in them, he's going to be able to complete it. If Paul was with us today, would he have that same confidence in us? Let's move on. Verse 7. He says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Now, this is amazing. And this is something, this is going to be probably more preaching to me than anybody else. Paul loves the people that he ministered to. All right? We talk about biblical love. I mean, true love is not just a feeling or emotion. It's actual, you know, taking the truth of the Word of God and being able to invest into people's lives. And that's obviously what Paul did. But he had them in his heart. We know that because we've already seen that every time he's praying and thanking God for the Philippians because of, again, their stand and their walk that they had with the Lord. I mean, they were in his heart. And it's not the only group of people you see that with. I want you to turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want you to look down in verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. Now this is, it's a real lesson in dealing with ministry. And, you know, it can be easy to lay out the facts and the figures of what the Word of God says in a sense. But ministry is beyond that. Ministry is about giving of your life, of yourself. And that's what you see with the Apostle Paul. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says this, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. Why? Because you were dear unto us. In other words, let me open up and share my life with you that I have in Christ. Not just tell you book, chapter, and verse. Not just tell you these are the different commands that God lays out for us. Let me give you my soul, my heart, my life. Let me show you the things that God has done in my life. Because why? Paul had a desire for the people that he ministered to. Now, last week I shared with you my personal vision for 2020. All right, and it comes from Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 23, where it talks about, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flock and to look well unto thy herds. All right, and I said, you know, in a sense, it's easy for me to preach the Word of God. And what I mean by that is because it's just me and God. I'm going to spend my time in the Word of God. I'm going to study things out. I'm going to review, cross-reference, so forth and so on. But it's just me and God doing that, and I stand up and preach. But to be a pastor means I need to be involved in your life. I need to be open. I need to be able to, that you would have the sense, you know what? I can talk to Charles about something because he understands. I'm not on a pedestal. I'm not the same human being as you. But it's like, here, let me share with you my life. I can't be closed off. I can't say, oh, only so far. It's like, I want to show you that, you know what? There's times I've gotten mad. But you're a pastor. There's times, hold it, I make maybe even not so clean of a word could have come out of my mouth. There's times, you know what? I don't feel like serving God anymore. Why be a pastor? I'm human. And you have to understand that because I know I'm not saying anything that you yourselves are not going through. And if you think that I'm someplace that I got it down, but I got the Word of God perfect and I make no mistakes and I don't sin? Oh, talk to Trish. Should have thought of it a couple of years ago when I got my lawnmower stuck in the ditch. Oh, I bet you wish you could have saw that. I bet you did. I have my wife on there, you know, that's still a zero turn radius lawnmower that she's never done in her life. And instead of getting it unstuck, she got it stuck more. And I was mad. I didn't say anything bad, but I had my hat walked off, threw my hat down the road. two guys came and helped them. I'm sure they probably saw what took place, and you know, thank God for those guys. But man, I'm human. All right, being a pastor means being involved in somebody's life. If I'm going to know the state of where you're at, you have got to be willing to trust me, and it's okay to share with me. I'm not asking you to share everything, your deepest dark secrets or anything like that, but if you have something in your life that you need help with, I want to be to a place where you will come to me and trust, hey, pastor, can you pray about this with me? Can you show me something in the Word of God about this? And you feel comfortable in doing it, because I'm telling you, what you see is what you get. I have been a part of churches to where, again, where they're legalistic and, you know, pastor had to act a certain way, literally told that you can't be friends with your congregation, you need to be a part, the only friends you need to have are other pastors. I'm like, that's not what I see in the Word of God. That's not what I see from the Apostle Paul. Ministry is about relationships. It's about reality. We're in this thing together. And you see that with Paul, it's like he had them in their heart. I want to impart unto you my own soul. Not just thus saith the Lord, but it's thus saith the Lord. Here's how the Lord dealt with me in my life when I was struggling and going through things. Here, let me try to help you out, because you know what? The same thing I'm telling and preaching today, you might have to turn around and teach to me. Charles, remember when you were preaching back then about this, that, and the other? Yeah. Well, aren't you going to listen to your own preaching? Yeah, I guess I probably need to do that, don't I? We're in this together. That's what ministry is all about. Man, the Philippians, man, Paul was, it was in his heart for these things. Let's go back to Philippians to pick up a couple other things in this verse. It says this. Again, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, even as it is meet or fit for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, again, he was in prison during this time that he's writing Philippians, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Now, we're going to talk about this defense of the gospel a little bit later in this chapter, actually down to verse 17, so I'm not going to take too much time to deal with it now. We're talking about defense and confirmation of the gospel. Ask you a question. Christian, are you at the place where you're able to defend and confirm to somebody the gospel? Could you sit down with somebody and share the gospel of grace with them? Now, it's not my point to deal with this as I can, because it's more than just the gospel of grace that's in the New Testament. There's the gospel of the kingdom, which is doctrinally different because it's focused on the Jews that believe in Christ. That's different than the gospel of grace that God uses Paul to give to the Gentiles or the body of Christ. I'm not going to get into the doctrinal difference of that, but at the same time, can you defend the gospel? Can you confirm for somebody the gospel? Show them in the Word of God, hey, this is what the gospel is all about. Let me help you out a little bit. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I made reference to that earlier in the message, but I want you to go back to verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. This is the greatest chapter that lays out dealing with the doctrine of the resurrection and laying out the gospel for us. But we're going to look at the first four verses. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 1. It says this, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." In other words, if you believe in vain, then you're really not saved. I mean, it's a heart belief that takes place. He talks about that in Romans chapter 10. But moving on, verse 3 and 4, laying out the gospel, says this, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Jesus Christ didn't stay dead. All right. But again, notice how Paul lays that out, according to the Scriptures. And we're able to defend and confirm the gospel. We need to be able to show people, according to the Scriptures, how the gospel is laid out. Now, one of the things I said, I want you to go to 2 Thessalonians real quick, because the gospel is more than just salvation, the gospel of grace. Again, God didn't save you just to sit. He saved you so you're able to serve Him, to be able to walk in those good works that He has laid out for us even before the beginning of the world. And so when we talk about the gospel of grace, that's just, I mean, it's more than just salvation. It's more than, as I say, fire insurance from hell. I mean, you accept Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, as again it says in Romans 10, verse 9, believe in the heart, confess with the mouth, I mean, you're saved. All right? It's not, in a sense, not a lot to it. But the gospel of grace is more than just salvation. There's a job that He wants you to do. He wants you to serve Him and able to be able to have glory. If I really sum up what the gospel of grace is all about, it's about grace to glory. Alright? Saved by grace, serving Him that you're able to be glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to rule and reign with Him. Every Christian, every person that legitimately accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are heaven bound. But not every Christian will be ruling and reigning with Christ. That's conditional. And we will see that, I'm sure, a number of times as we come through this year in the book of Philippians. That's why it's so important to be able to have a vision to grow. Not a vision to sit. Why would God use you for eternity if you've done nothing for Him now besides accept His grace? That's why Paul talked about not receiving the grace of God in vain. If you forgot, that's our first message that we did in the book of Philippians. Don't receive God's grace in vain. He has a job for us to do. In 2 Thessalonians, I want you to look, first of all, in chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 13, it says this, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation." How? "Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth." It's not some predestination in the sense of where you don't have a choice whether to get saved or not. God zaps you if you're going to be saved and says, "Oh, sorry, I don't like the way you look, so you're going to hell." That's not what we're talking about. Literally, the grammar here talks about the plan and how we are to save, to be saved. That's by, again, salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. You believe in the truth, God sanctifies you with the Spirit of God, you're saved. But it doesn't stop there, nor does the sentence stop there in chapter verse 13. Notice what it says in verse 14. "Whereunto," oh, there's a purpose, "He called you." Don't forget those references that we looked at in our first point today. We have a calling, we have a work to do. "Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's what we're called to obtain His glory. I guarantee you, there's not a lot of churches around the world that talk about truly what the gospel of grace is all about. They think it's all about the salvation and that's it. And every message every week is about salvation, about salvation. Yes, people need to be saved, but they're saved with a purpose. The greatest example that we can give about that is when you have a baby, that's not the end of the job. It's just the beginning. You have to raise that child. You get a puppy. I would like to think my job's done. I got my wife an incredible Christmas gift. I think it's so good, matter of fact, I know she's here listening, but I probably can get away with not ever giving her another gift again. That's how great this Christmas gift is. Susan's like, "No, no, no, I don't think so." Yeah, I got it. February's a busy month for me. I got Valentine's Day and her birthday. I'm saying, you know, I'd say, "Hey, remember Max? Yeah, he left you a gift on the carpet. You want to clean that up?" It's a gift that keeps on giving. We got to train that dog. If he's going to be my little gladiator, Maximus, we got to train him. All right, he's going to be my guard dog. Don't come to my house. I mean, you can come to his house now, he'll just lick you. But I'm telling you, in a few months, all right, you will be entertained. Now, anyhow, I digress. We got to train the dog. You have a child, you have to train that child. Churches. Somebody accepts Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. They are a babe in Christ. We need to train them up. It's not just about salvation. It's about raising them so they are able to walk in the good works that God has laid out for them so they have the opportunity to be glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, again, it says in verse 14, "Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 15, "Therefore, based on that, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle, the things that Paul writes out. That's why, again, our doctrine is summed up from Romans through Philemon. That is what we're going to be held accountable for. All the Bible is for us, but not all the Bible is to us. And what is to us doctrinally is Romans through Philemon, the things that God uses the Apostle Paul to write unto us. All right, why? So we can attain that glory. Go back in 2 Thessalonians, but this time chapter 1 real quick. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And down to verses 11 and 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, it says this, "Wherefore, also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, watch it, may be glorified in you, and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." That's our gospel of grace, people. May be glorified. Every believer in Christ, you're saved. Heaven bound. Can't lose that. But being glorified, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in you and you in Him, is conditional. May. The Chiefs may win today. Is that a guarantee? Did I give you 100% guarantee that the Chiefs are going to win right now? Did I do that? No, because everybody knows may means, guess what? May not. We want them to, obviously. Unless you're some Tennessee Titans fan. We won't talk about them. No. The point is this, we know what may means. I may give you $100. I guarantee you, I'm not going to give you $100. But I'm just saying, if I may give you something, there's an option where, you know what, that may not happen. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified, and we glorified in Him. That's conditional. You know what's conditional on? Wherefore we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If we don't walk in them, don't expect to be glorified on that day. Yes, saved. Yes, heaven bound, so forth and so on. But glorified, ruling and reigning with Christ, that's not going to happen. And Paul, in his doctrine, talks about it over and over and over. I can show you in every book that he writes to us, see the same thing over and over again. And that's why, you know, why do I talk about that? Why do I preach about that more in the New Testament so much, or just when I'm preaching in general? Because it's talked about over and over and over and over again. And we will be without excuse. You're going to be like, well, I didn't know. It's in the Word. Well, I just didn't have time to get in the Word of God. I didn't feel like reading that much. I don't want this to sound crude or anything like that, but you know what? With confidence in the Word of God, I can pretty much probably say that Jesus Christ probably didn't feel like being on a cross and going through that. Remember, he went to go pray and say, Lord, if it's possible, can you take this cup away from me? But nevertheless, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Let's go back to one more thing we need to finish up with this verse. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. This is an incredible statement that's being said here. Partakers of the grace that Paul received. That's why the Apostle Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. That's why the gospel of grace is something that is, he talks about, this is my gospel. This is what the Lord communicated specifically to him for the Gentiles. This is different than what Peter, James, and John was teaching. This is different than what the Lord told Peter, James, and John to be preaching. That's the gospel of the kingdom. It's different. Again, I don't have time to get in this message into the difference of all that, but it is clear in Scripture. Now, we used this reference 2 weeks ago, but I'm going to go back to it again to finish up this point, because, again, as believers in Christ, in this dispensation of grace, we are partakers of the grace, the same grace that God gave Paul, is the same grace that we have today, that same gospel of grace. and he sets the pattern for us. He's the first in the body of Christ. We are following after that. Well, how do we know that? Again, let's look at the Word of God. Let's go to 1 Timothy this time. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Last time, 2 weeks ago, when we were in this passage, I read from verse 12. I just want to pick it up in verse 14 and read through verse 16 today. So, 1 Timothy chapter 1, let's pick it up in verse 14. It says, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." As I said, there is not a sin, there's not a circumstance and a situation in your life that we can, in my life, that we could ever do and commit that God's grace can't cover. Alright? There's nothing that exceeds God's grace. Alright? And our dispensation of grace is absolutely incredible. He goes on in verse 15 and says this, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul didn't look at somebody else and said, "You know what? He needs God's grace more than me." He says, "I'm chief of sinners. I'm the worst." And then verse 16, the subject of what we need to look at right now. "Howbeit, for this cause, I obtain mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." He sets the pattern. He's the first, and there's one to follow after that. So when Paul is telling the Philippians how he's partakers of my grace, that's what we're talking about. That's why it's important for us to understand the importance of rightly dividing the word of truth. It's not meant for me to follow the things that Jesus told Peter, James, and John, because part of their salvation is works. Part of the things and a promise of them is them going through the tribulation period. We go on and on and on and on again. We can talk about tithing. Oh, don't mess with the tithe. I understand. If you want to get 10%, that's fine. The issue for us in the dispensation of grace is it's between you and God. Whatever you're able to give, you give. And do 10%. Was it 10% of your gross or 10% of your net? I guarantee you most churches around the nation today, you know, what are they talking about? Tithes and offerings. That's doctrine that was given to the Jews. Old Testament. I can go on and on and on. But my point is this. What we're accountable to is laid out for the things that Paul teaches us, and it is the Word of God. It's not just the words in red in your red letter edition Bible. Nothing against that, but people equate that what Jesus says is the Word of God and it's more important. No. All of the Word of God is the Word of God. And the things that God and the Lord Jesus Christ communicated to the Apostle Paul is the Word of God. Alright? And here's what we need to understand today. The things that are laid out in this dispensation of grace that we're in, we have a work to do. God wants to work in your life so that you can finish the work He has given you to do. And as long as we're kicking and screaming and doing everything against God, it's going to be hard for Him to finish that work. That wasn't the case with the Philippians. I mean, Paul says it. He was confident of this very thing, that He which has begun to get work in you will complete it. I pray that the Lord has the same confidence in us, that we allow Him to do the work in our life so that we can finish the work He has given us to do to His glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank You and praise You for the day. I thank You and praise You for Your Word. Obviously, so much in these two verses that can be said again even next week and come up with other stuff. But Lord, we thank You for what You've given us today. And Lord, I pray that, again, that You would help us to take it to heart, understanding that You have a purpose and a job for each and every one of us here. Each and every one, whatever, you know, in the future, listen to this message, whatever the case is, that understand that in Christ, you have a plan for their life. You have a purpose. They're here for a reason. Good works to walk in, that we should walk in. Lord, it is my prayer that everyone that hears this message will take it to heart. Starting with myself. As long as we're living here on this planet, You have a work for us to do. There's a job to complete. And it should be every one of us, our goal, just like the Paul, to have nothing move us from that, that we will complete the work, the ministry that You've given us to do for Your glory. That we come to the end of our life, whether it be by death or by rapture, that we leave this planet knowing that we have done everything that You have wanted us to do. that we leave nothing unfinished. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.